Louise.
Tracy.
How are you today?
I'm well.
I'm recovering. Are you recovering?
Yes, I'm recovering Canada Festival. Oh my goodness. It was so hot.
And it's going to be. It's going to continue to be hot.
It's really something.
32 today.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. There's going to be burnt skin.
I know.
It's like a barbecue.
It's hard work this summer vacation. I feel like I need a vacation from my vacation already.
Well, you're hosting people, right?
Yes.
That's a lot of work.
It's true.
You're like a cruise director.
Well, fortunately, today's topic might be helpful to people who have friends visiting from out of town.
That's right. So today's topic is
what I will do on my summer vacation.
Oh, there are so many things to do.
Yes, in the arts. Just this week, just today alone. I can't keep up.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's craziness. So this week is a particularly crazy week. We're installing the new exhibition at the gallery. It's always just, you can count on me to talk about the gallery first. Mm-hmm. But there's also many other things going on. But let's talk about Louis-Marc Simard.
Ooh.
I know.
Yes.
A Frenchman.
Yes.
Right? Somebody after your own
heart. Mais oui.
I love that when my kids who are in late French immersion are around him, he just instantly starts talking French with them, speaking French. And then,
do they get all embarrassed and they don't want to talk to him?
Yeah. They do. And then he slows down and allows them to kind of catch up. And it's really sweet. Yeah, actually, I appreciate it.
They really like to hear French. They don't always like to speak. It makes them nervous.
But, yeah.
Or my kids are the same way.
Well, it's kind of exciting. I look at them and I just have a big grin on my face and I wish I could speak French too.
You could. We'll just go to Quebec City for 6 weeks. You'll be good to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be my next plan.
Yes, next summer.
Professional
next
development.
Next summer's vacation.
Yeah. So Louis-Marc is going to be opening his first solo exhibition at our gallery.
Wow.
On Friday.
His first solo.
Yeah, his first solo show here.
No kidding.
He's had exhibitions elsewhere. In fact,
yes.
He's been part of some major sculptural symposiums over the last few years in some pretty big cities, and he's had work purchased by some major cities. So he's been doing some amazing things.
And he's a sculptor.
He's a sculptor and a painter.
And a painter. Mm-hmm. Is that unusual to be able to do both? Or?
I'm so croaky.
That's all right.
Sorry.
That's okay. You already know Louis-Marc's art because he nude at the bottom of the staircase is currently at the bottom of the staircase at the gallery outside.
I think that was named especially for its location.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it is a little bit normal to be a sculptor and a painter.
Mm-hmm.
I know a number of sculptors who continue to paint or else started in painting. And it's kind of it's like an evolution, right? With sculpture is just adding another dimension to a painting. So I think that for some, it's just natural to do both.
And you've seen the pieces, big, small.
Some are very large.
That's going to be fun.
This is me like recovering from Canada Day.
I know.
I can hardly hold it together.
Canada
here.
Day recovery. So another thing you need to know, when there's a new show at the gallery, it takes a week usually to install it. And Eric and Tracy and the volunteers work like madmen to get everything into place. They repaint the gallery every time
or
touch up
walls.
The paint
some
every
walls
time.
Get a new job every single month, but
yeah. So and so these are sort of behind the scenes insider info.
This is insider info.
It's true.
So the delivery, the artist usually delivers their work and then we send them away
because go away now.
Yeah, because we like to lay it out according to how we know visitors experience the gallery. And of course, we like to have our feature wall and yada, yada. Anyway, Louis-Marc is different.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to be right in there
sure
like a dirty
does.
Sock.
Yeah.
So he's actually going to be installing the show along with Eric today. And we'll get a glimpse at all of these amazing pieces.
Oh, I can't wait.
So yeah, he's, and lots of colorful stuff, like lots of, he puts together geometrics and you know, organic sort of imagery with unusual color combinations. Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, the show title, Bordering on Reality, is so appropriate because you can't quite make sense of his pieces. They're abstract, but there's elements of reality in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at that and go, oh, is that, I'm not supposed to make that something. Oh, but that reminds me of it doesn't look like it there. It's like all weird and circular there.
It reminds me of those. Was it Escher?
Yeah.
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 You kind of get drawn in and you can't stop looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fabulous because complexity is what keeps you looking again and again and makes people interested in art. So,
So it opens Friday night. At yes. 7?
Friday, July 4th at 7 o'clock at the gallery. Now, there's time to come and see Louis Mark's show, say hi to Louis Mark, listen to him open the exhibition, and then take off to...
With his French accent.
Yes. Yeah. Which is actually the most fun. Yes. I just love to listen to him. See, I don't need to speak French. I'll just sit around and listen That's to right. Louis Mark talk. But you can come to the opening and then go off to Shoe Swap Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's another big play happening there that was a winner at Ozone Festival. It's from the Fred Skeleton Theater.
Which is in Kelowna. Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, it's called Red, mm-hmm. and it is about Mark Rothko.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a cool like coincidence that it's happening the same night as our opening. At least I hope it's a good coincidence, because yes. there's only about 150 people in Salmon Arm that do everything.
Everything. Well, and so technically you could go to both the opening and the play.
Yeah, absolutely.
The play is at what time?
It's at 8, and the doors open at 7, but you can get tickets at the door. They're not doing...
The gallery opens at
7.
7, so...
Yeah. It'll be great.
Yeah.
I think that I would love to duck out of the opening and go see it because, I mean, that sounds wonderful. It's one of the quotes that Mark Rothko has in the show is, "My greatest fear is that one day the black will swallow the red."
Mm-hmm.
And I just like anything that's all about color
yes.
having its own life
yes.
is so interesting yeah.
And
to
it
me.
Is. It's award-winning.
Yeah.
It's an award-winning play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. Okay, so that's what the theater's doing on Friday.
But and then on Thursday night, you could enjoy some jazz
yeah.
down at the Rastri Plaza.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have to send out a caution
yes.
to the world.
Warning.
Warning. Don't touch the mosaic. Louise can see the band-aids on my fingers.
mm-hmm.
So what happens when a mosaic, well, of course, that's made up of about 50,000 pieces of broken tile.
Yes.
Is that there are sharp edges.
Literally 50,000 pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not grouted yet.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take the fence down so that the two events that are scheduled to happen on the stage can happen, unless we want to have a Blues Brothers kind of event where the band plays behind a fence. Which
well, there.
Is,
it'd be for their own safety.
It might be.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a week or so before we can grout. And so there's all those sharp edges. So I want to tell people that even though it's awesome to look at and you really desperately want to run your hands along it, there's MacTac still on most of it, but there are a lot of sharp edges.
Mm.
So don't touch it.
Yes. Caution.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that would be nice jazz outside.
Yeah. They'll be the first thing to play in front of the new
wonderful.
Mosaic. Yeah.
It's just so great. And but jazz isn't the only thing. If you're not too tired from yesterday, tonight you can go to
Wow.
Wow.
See, I had to think about what day it was.
I know.
For a
what
second
day
there.
Is it? Who am I? but if you
I'm
go to Wow,
to stay up that late.
You make sure you bring sunscreen and a lot of water. My goodness, it's going to be hot.
I know.
Yeah.
But Wow kind of, you know what's nice about Wow is by the time it starts, a couple of those big trees provide great big blobs of shade.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, it cools down nicely mm-hmm. over there. And because you're on the shore too, it seems to not be. I don't know. It just doesn't bake the way that other places do.
Yes.
I find it a little bit cooler there. Maybe the willow trees kind of help.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, Olivia is playing tonight.
Olivia.
Yeah. Young gal. So it's always fabulous. It doesn't even matter who's playing. Just go.
You're right. It doesn't matter who's playing.
You just show up.
No.
Yeah. And our MC Dylan Dodge is doing a nice job.
Yes.
Yeah.
People who's also a host here.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Are you listening? Good job.
He's so funny. The second Wow concert, I had to abandon him and run around and do my various things. And I told him that it was, I was going to be back at a certain time, but basically you're on your own. And he said, I think that's okay. People seem to like me here.
Aw. So great.
I know. He's so cute.
Aw.
So awesome. He's doing a wonderful job representing us. One of the nice things about having an MC like Dylan, who's grown up here, is that he's really familiar with all of our sponsors
mm-hmm.
and knows who they are, you know, can identify people and say, oh yeah, that guy's, you know.
At 10 paces. I can identify a sponsor from.
Well, it's kind of important.
Like Superman.
We're so appreciative of our sponsors that
leave
we
a tall
want them
building
to be...
in a single bound.
Yeah.
It's true, but it's good. It's very important.
It is.
The sponsors are very important.
Well, they are. They mm-hmm. make it happen. They make it possible for us to even plan it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they pay for half of the whole concert our sponsors do. Mm-hmm. The other half comes from donations. So. Yeah. So anyway, WOW every Wednesday, 6:45 at Marine Park, and it's by donation, and it's great to bring a toonie or something, but it's also good to bring a $5 bill because mm-hmm. with $5, you can get a free WOW pin.
Yes, which is a guitar pick.
Yeah.
So clever.
And there's new ones this year. There's camo and bronze.
Really?
And a deep blue. Yeah.
Deep blue.
Lovely. Deep blue.
Collect them all.
Well, and some people do. I think it's kind of hilarious, actually, because, you know, I'll be going around with my bucket and some guy will, you know, throw in a five. And so I'll pull out my handful of pins for him to choose from. And he'll be like, wait a minute. No, I got a pink one. Over. I got a glow in the dark one. I got one of those. That one? Oh, I'll take that one.
I know. We're such collectors.
We are.
It's like art pieces or WOW pins.
Yeah.
We love to collect.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think this is a cheap and easy way to collect things.
Oh, absolutely.
Because people just stick them on their lawn chairs. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't wear pins anymore.
No.
They just put it on the lawn chair. It's almost like badges of honor. I've been to 18 WOW like your
brownie
concerts.
Badge.
Yeah.
When you get your, do you remember getting brownie badges? Were you in brownies as a kid?
I was in brownies. Wearing brownie.
Yeah. Were you a pixie or a, do you remember there's four little.
Yeah.
Oh, those were fun summer things to do. We did lots of arts and brownies.
We actually did. Mm-hmm. But I remember I got my dishwashing badge.
You did? I got my telephone manners badge.
Oh, good for you. I think I got my dishwashing badge for doing dishes once. And if my mother's listening, she'll be laughing right now because I never did dishes. But maybe that's why the badge was so significant to me.
That's right.
Oh, it was fun.
I wonder
times.
If there's a radio broadcasting badge.
We should get one.
Get one for today. My goodness. That was all I could do to get out of where I was to get into where I am. It's crazy.
Maybe there's a July 2nd kind of syndrome.
Sure.
That we Maybe. Can invent.
Oh, there could be a Surviving Canada Day badge. Mm-hmm. I love badges. We should bring badges back.
We should.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Well, we'd need sashes and things like that to sew them onto. So then we'd have to have sashes back
exactly.
in style.
Exactly.
It's a whole thing. I don't know. Okay, well, let's go.
We get our arts camp. Maybe we'll have badges for art camp.
You know, that's a good idea. What a nice segue. You're so good at that, even in the day after Canada Day.
I know, getting there. It's starting to, coffee is kicking into my brain now, so okay. We should be all right.
Well, art camp is something that the gallery created for itself. It's not a brand new idea. Of course, it's camps that are designed for very specific interests have been going on for quite a long time. But the gallery has had Family Saturdays for, let's see, how long has that been?
Nine years?
Yeah. 2000. Oh, yeah, I guess it's 10 years this year.
Because one of our facilitators was actually one of the first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the first kids that attended Family Saturdays.
Exactly. And now she runs the whole thing.
Yeah. Crazy. When they were aging out. That's when we decided we better do something for a little bit older kids because there was a big group of kids that really enjoyed the Family Saturdays concept.
But they were too, yeah.
Oh, they're just getting too old for that.
Family Saturdays good for little kids.
They are. Mm-hmm. It's great for little ones. Mm-hmm. So the art camp was developed, I think, 4 years ago. And now we do two. We do a young one in July and an old teen one in August. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like immersion. It's art immersion.
We just do art
all day. And we use qualified local instructors. So we don't just have like one person trying to come up with, you know, crafts and stuff.
Sure.
We use specific drawing instructors and beading instructors and collage instructors that are local professional artists.
Wonderful. Yeah. And so the camp is next week, Monday to Friday.
Monday to Friday. It goes 9 until 3 each day. It's $125. It includes all supplies. And one mom said to me, I love it. She said, you know, I'm just going to not name names here. Okay. She said, my child went to the blah blah art camp at such and such a place and had a nice time, but came home with not really anything. Mm-hmm. She said, so I loved your camp because at the end of the week, she came home with art.
Yes.
Like actual art.
Like stuff she made all by herself.
Yeah. And stuff that was great. Mm-hmm. Like really, it's because our instructors are kind of, they push a little bit, right? Like these are not just occupy your kid for the day projects.
No.
These are, here's how these kinds of skills can be developed further to push your art further. Yes. So these are kind of for little art stars that are already pretty keen in the art world and want to learn more stuff.
Yeah.
I was just trying once again to cough and gurgle my way out of this Canada Day recovery thing. Gosh, this all summer is going to be like this, you know, it's going to be constant recovery mode.
Yes.
because there's so much going on.
So much going on.
Okay, well, yeah. what's our next thing?
And there's lots more. So now we've talked about music. We've talked about art.
Oh, wait a minute. We've talked about art camp. I do want to talk more about art camp.
Okay.
Because the teen art camp that's in August is different than the one we have in July. Mm-hmm. It's 4 days. It's the Monday to Thursday leading up to Roots and Blues, whatever that those dates are.
16th, yeah.
Yeah, so something like that. Anyway, and it's just a little bit more advanced than the 9 to 12-year-old one. And some of those skills and techniques that we teach in that camp are for arts employment.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So it kind of helps that age group of kids that are keen on art potentially think about ways they can generate revenue using their art. So that's kind of an important aspect.
So tell us, what would the curriculum be?
Well, one of them is Christine Turpin comes and teaches face painting.
Yes. Oh, and there you go. So you could do that.
Yeah.
At festivals? Or?
Yeah. And so she helps them, well, she teaches them some techniques, and then she helps them build a kit so that they know kind of some of the basics that they need to take along with them. She talks to them about all the different kinds of events that she does. I mean, she's so generous with her information. It's wonderful. But it's because I think it's one of those things that's in high demand.
Mm-hmm. What a great birthday party is.
Yeah. And just all kinds of events that
carnivals, people can
volunteer their time for or actually get paid for.
An honorarium or whatever.
Yeah. So I think that's an important one.
And what's another one?
Diane Jewell teaches loom beading.
Yes.
Yeah. So the bracelets that they can create fairly fast because their little fingers move a lot faster than our fingers.
Mm-hmm. Especially, well, mine aren't covered in Band-Aids from tile, but
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Tori Jewell teaches an awesome t-shirt reconstruction sort of thing. So it's like, the last 2 years we've done the reverse tie-dye, which is a bleach dye. I think it's called color discharge. And you do the same tie-dye design, but you use bleach instead.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I know.
Great idea.
It actually is pretty cool.
And I did tie-dye yesterday
at
the beach with the kids. It was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I hope you didn't wash your bottles out in the lake.
No.
Okay.
I did no such thing. No such thing.
I heard a story about something to do with blue something, somebody dumped out at one of the docks and everybody's boat from the waterline down was blue. Yeah. I can't remember what that substance was, but that's not very healthy.
It's not nice to tie-dye other people's boats.
No.
Not at all.
No. No matter how artful you
are. No, I do have a question, though, about tie-dye. So now that it's done, is it true I have to soak the shirts in cold water and vinegar?
Yeah. Well, that's what you do to stop the process.
Okay.
The vinegar stops it. But after that, no, it's actually a salt bath that's the best color set.
Okay.
And then, if you use a good dye, like, where did you get it?
It's a proper dye kit.
You're fine.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Those things are designed to be permanent.
And can they be washed?
Yes.
Okay.
But the first time you wash it with other stuff that's that color.
Okay.
Because you might get a little leakage.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Like jeans or something.
Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tie dyeing is big. And then the bleach dyeing is actually even easier because you can see it happening. It's really fun. You just do half and half bleach and water.
Yes.
And you do your tie dye patterning, right? And then you dip whatever it is. You can use a spray bottle or whatever. And you're using black t-shirts. So black t-shirts are made up of a whole bunch of other colors,
right? Of course
they
are.
So you get a different, you just don't know what you're going to get. Sometimes it's kind of orangey red flame. Sometimes it's kind of yellowy beige. So anyway, you see it happening and you know, like when it gets to a certain stage, you're like, okay, stop. And then you put it in a vinegar bath. It's a half and one-to-one vinegar water bath to stop the bleach.
Wow.
And it's done.
Stop the bleach.
That's great. It's pretty cool.
Well, kids, teens especially love that
stuff. And then you can sell that stuff.
Yeah.
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 And some people I know go to the thrift store and get black t-shirts.
Black t-shirts. Well, I cleared the thrift store out of white t-shirts, so don't go to the thrift store for white t-shirts for a couple of days. Yeah.
I shouldn't have said that because I think I need to still go get black t-shirts.
Uh-oh. You shouldn't have said that. Well, rewind the tape and delete it.
Okay. We're live.
Yeah. So speaking of teenagers and summer vacation.
Yes. Actually, that's a good Shugo segue. Mm-hmm. Shugo is the ticket program I'm sure all of our 20 listeners have heard about before, where youth aged 12 to 21 can buy a $5 ticket at the art gallery that is good for a multitude of live arts events.
Such as
Caravan Farm Theater.
Yeah, Caravan Farm Theater. Their summer production is ramping up. I see that they've they're having their read-throughs now. And
yeah, the tragical comedy of Punch and Judy.
Punch and Judy.
That's a bit scary, isn't it? Yeah. I know there's been talk about how violent that show really was.
Yes.
And domestic violence has been since, like, they don't, we just don't use that as children's entertainment anymore.
No. But see, I grew up, I wasn't really connected to that.
Yeah.
Because I was, I don't know.
I think it's a little early for us.
Yeah. Maybe it's too early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it doesn't even matter. Caravan always does a fabulous job of anything. Oh,
they'll do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
But it's true. He wasn't a very nice puppet. Not a nice puppet.
No. Not nice at all.
Not nice at all.
So Shugo can be used at Caravan. It can be used at Runaway Moon Theater. Can be used at Shoe Swap Theater. Mm-hmm. Can be used for the opera, which is air conditioned.
Yes, which might come in pretty handy these next few days.
Yeah.
So just because if, you know, you're a teenager, if, you know, you don't need to have, you don't need to be rich to enjoy the arts. You just need to want to participate.
Yeah. So. Well, in this program, just like Sean from Caravan told us in the beginning when we first started the program, it's for rabid little art fans.
Yes.
And it's for kids who want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it, don't think it's some cheap ticket that you know you're going to get for almost nothing to take two or three of your friends to something that you don't really want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a subsidized program.
Mm-hmm.
The Arts Council subsidizes it very specifically to make sure that everybody who wants to go to a live arts event can go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you do have to buy your ticket in advance at the art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important aspect.
And so we need your information, and there's some limits and you can't.
Yeah. We have a maximum per year now.
Yeah. Six per year.
Yeah. Because it was, got to be very popular last year.
That's right.
Kind of blew the budget.
Well, that's a good, if we have to blow a budget, that's a good one to blow, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to the next thing. So here we are, we're in the summer, we're doing WOW every Wednesday, mm-hmm. Caravan's got a production going on, we've got the occasional event at Haney Heritage Park.
Yes.
They've got multitude of things going on over the course of the summer. I think their Villains and Vittles production happens.
So that's like dinner theater.
Yeah.
I can't say theater, I have to say theater.
That's okay. Theater. So you're kind of French and British.
A little bit. No, I just like having an accent.
Yeah.
And my kids don't like it when I do that. I embarrass them, so I'll just do it on air.
You're a mom. That's your job.
They're like, Mom, what is with the accents?
Embarrassing your kids is one of our important roles to fulfill.
Yeah, I'll get a badge for that. World's most embarrassing mom.
We need a badge for that.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Anyway, the Haney Heritage Vittles. I can hardly say it. Vittles. No, wait. Villains and Vittles.
It's a tongue twister.
I just want to say dinner theater.
Yes.
It's their dinner theater. Nellie Trueheart's Encounter with Pureville N.E. I don't even know what the N.E. is, but it's always an awesome production because they use a lot of amazing, talented youth performers.
Yes. And are these local stories or?
Yeah.
It seems to me it's always kind of based in local folklore.
Yeah. Which is kind of amazing because I guess for the tourists in the area, they learn something about this area. And then for those of us who live here, we're blown away by the origins of some of our landmarks or, you know, just our historical figures or whatever because of the research that goes into these plays. It's kind of amazing.
It's great.
I know. We've got so much talent here.
So much talent. Do you think there's anything missing from the scene for your summer vacation? You know what I love about bigger cities is those organized walks.
What do you mean?
Like historical walks, London walks.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been on a...
I've never been on a walk.
Oh, wow.
I mean, a guided walk.
There's some in London. There's one called the Beatles Walk.
That'd be cool.
And you meet at a certain tube station and they take you on the tube and you go to Abbey Road and you get to cross Abbey Road.
Okay, that's really cool.
And then you go to Savoy Row where the Beatles played on the roof.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so they show you all that. And then there's a Shakespeare tour.
Holy.
And they show you, you know, why things look the way they are. And
okay, but in Salmon Arm.
Well, I think we could get some interesting buildings. And
here's where Louise works.
This is Tracy's gallery. No, but either, whether it would be the foreshore or I just think there'd be some.
There could be a birding walk.
Yes.
Because doing the from Peter Janik Park through around to the Marine Park, you know, that little little trail that goes out to the end beside the ponds.
Mm-hmm.
There's always herons. Like you walk along there and you literally, oh my gosh, there's a heron 10 feet
right
from you.
There. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great spot. Yeah. And then back along the nature trail, you could do a total birding walk.
You could do a total birding walk. You could do, I just think there's lots you could.
But historically in art speaking, you're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see, we have to think of somebody who's particularly talented that is from Salmon Arm.
Could take people, or just even the art gallery itself would be a lovely stop. It has lots of history and people like to know what this building is now. The gallery, we used to be the library, before that it was the post office.
We could actually do a public art walk.
Yes.
Yeah, because once the mosaic's finished,
mm-hmm.
we've got the apples at the Saskew.
Yes.
Like we've got a number of things we could take people. Let's do that.
Okay, all right. But not today.
Not today.
Not today.
Not this summer, probably.
No, not this summer.
But that's a great idea because, like you said, when you learn more about the things, you become more engaged in the community. Mm-hmm. And also you can do the one-on-one thing, have one-on-one conversations with people. We learn so much more when we actually can have a conversation mm-hmm. rather than just being the presenter.
And it's eco-friendly and it's very meaningful. It's not like one of those big buses with the top cut off.
Yeah.
They charge you $1 billion. Really don't like those things.
Yeah, that's not what I did on my summer vacation.
No, never, ever. Yeah. I like the walks. I also went on the Jack the Ripper walk at night. It was so scary.
I bet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Terrible story, but fascinating, you know.
I guess.
What they went through and all the things they learned trying to solve it.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's sort of a lead study in forensics.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a bit of a scary topic, but I think we could, we have great stories to tell and it's summertime. We should be outside and, you know,
in the 32 degree heat. Game
that's
break.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in the morning, in the afternoon, you can go to the movies. There'll be matinees. The Salmar.
Oh, that's true.
The Salmar Association has movies in the afternoon.
And that's one of the very nice things about summertime is
as
they do that. As soon as the kids are out of school.
It's so cool in there.
Like literally cool in there.
Right? We've got an ad running now at the Salmar.
That's right.
If you see it, let us know what you think.
Yeah. Yeah. Louise made it.
It was fun. I love those ads.
Well, it was a very exciting way to be able to thank the Salmar because they're big sponsors of ours.
Yeah,
they gave money for the Mosaic Project and they actually sponsored the Random Acts of Music that will be happening in the downtown over the course of the summer every Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, very youth focused. They hire a lot of youth, right?
Yeah, they do.
And they a lot of the proceeds from the operations go back to the community, especially into young people.
Yeah.
So,
well, they were so excited to sponsor the Random Acts of Music just, and that they were so excited that they actually gave us movie passes to give to the Random Acts of Music musicians so that they would come and see a movie.
Aww.
It was so sweet. I think when they came and gave us the check, which was awesome. That's what they said. They said, these are the people that support us. So we want to support them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very Canadian of us.
Yeah.
Soon, not too soon, we'll organize an art walk for visitors and friends of the gallery. But in the meantime, there is something happening in August.
There's lots of things happening in August. In fact, there's kind of a self-guided art walk in August because we participate in the BC Culture Crawl.
Yes.
And the way we do that is we partner up businesses in the downtown with visual artists, and we have their work on display in those various businesses. In the last 2 years that we've done this, we've had over 30 businesses participate, which is awesome.
So we show Otto's work in our office and Mary Jo at the Pie Company shows someone's work and there's a brochure sort of.
There is. So we produce a brochure. It's usually ready by about a week before August starts because it's madness. We should get started on that.
All right.
But it's one of those things that evolves and changes over the course of July. But businesses are starting to know, and I love this part, they're starting to recognize how good a relationship they've built with their artist, and they're requesting artists back.
Nice.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
But the people going on the culture crawl seem to really be excited about doing it. Like they'll show up at the gallery and pick up the brochure, and then they'll leave, and then we see them back at 3:00, 3:30 or whatever, and they say, that was so fun!
Oh, great!
And they just tell us all about
it.
And then we went there, and then we went there, and then we saw so-and-so, and they get very excited about that. So it's a self-guided tour. You don't really, nobody's entertaining you. You're totally entertaining yourself, but you discover so much more about the downtown by doing this.
Yeah.
And discover stores you didn't know exist.
Yeah, stop in at Cookies and have a cappuccino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, we should probably not talk about specific businesses, but that is one store in Seminole that I'm so appreciating. It's just got all the quirky things that you may not be able to find other places.
That's right.
When you're looking for a food gift, which I'm very fond of.
Yes.
I don't like giving gifts that are not consumable because I think we got enough stuff. Mm-hmm. You walk in there and then it's just a matter of like, oh my gosh, you could do this. You could do this.
I know. And every single one of those independent businesses aren't just a commercial unit. They represent a person. And most of the people are quite lovely.
They are. And yes. They want to help.
And they do.
So, yeah, they mm-hmm. do. And so, I mean, Ian is the same at Salmon Arm Stationery.
Oh, my goodness.
You walk in there. I need a something. Oh, I can probably order that in.
Yeah.
And everybody's just so helpful. Mm-hmm. I love the downtown.
Yes.
So they're all very keen. All the businesses have always been keen on the whole culture crawl thing. So we'll be doing that again this year. And then
there's Paint the Town.
Paint the Town. So this is the final year for Paint the Town. 9 years.
Wow.
We've been doing it.
Yeah, and sometimes you got to switch it up. So
yeah.
We're going to go out with a, right?
We're going out with a unique sort of bang.
Okay.
So Paint the Town is, even though it's still happening on Saturday, August 9th, that's going to be the day the artists are on the street.
Mm-hmm.
The artists are not going to finish their works and put them back in the gallery for the month of August.
Okay.
We are transforming the gallery into a working studio.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have several little studios set up. The artists are going to be able to continue to work on their piece off and on during the month of August. And they will be permitted or encouraged to go back out onto the street to paint throughout the month just when they want to. And then the other little fun thing that we've Ooh. Thrown in here is that it's not just painters and drawers that are doing this. The potters are involved. The potters are going to have a wheel upstairs.
Oh, fantastic.
That they'll be working on and a hand building work table. The fiber artists are going to be involved.
Mm. So there will be a loom?
I think so, yeah. And so you'll be able to really, really see production.
That's true. And while maybe the... you know, painting and sculpture get a lot of attention in the basement of the gallery is the Potter's Guild.
Yep.
And they do some incredible work, and where Salmon Arm is quite known for its potters, is it not?
There's some very well-known potters.
Very well-known.
Quite famous. Mm-hmm. And they're all just working so hard because they do a lot of events themselves. They do sales at the mall and things like that. And I would imagine, like, summer is just kind of an awesome time to keep producing because you're inspired by the beauty around you.
You sure are. And the fiber artists are emerging, well, not emerging, but it's a very active scene with entwined fiber arts here, and they have knitting clubs, and
I know
we have a knitting club. And
So many different kinds of fiber.
It's making a comeback, I guess, I think.
Well, and it used to be just kind of weaving was the fiber arts. Mm-hmm. Now people are creating with fiber in multi and mixed media. The stuff that's coming out of some of these studios is pretty amazing.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. It'll be a very, you know, multi-dimensional show.
It will be. And so you'll be able to see, when you come in, you'll be able to see process, but you'll also be able to see the progress of some works that were started on August 9th for Paint the Town.
Because it's hard to paint one thing in one day.
Well, it is challenging. I mean, that's part of the fun in the beginning.
Cooking shows, you know, where you have 30 minutes to create your appetizer. It always irritates me. Why would I want to eat something you rushed to cook? Why?
That's a really good point.
I just, you know, I think the longer it takes, the better it is. So
yeah.
No, well, you have 20 minutes and it's artificial. I think this is more genuine.
Well, yeah, except that sometimes there's the extra challenge in having to go fast means you don't have time to think and rethink and rethink.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can sometimes use your bare bones inspiration and intuition to create something. And that's the beauty, I think, of the one day event, the plein air events, where you just have to sit down and do it a la prima.
Yes.
And sometimes...
What does that mean, a la prima?
All in one sitting.
There you go.
Yeah. That's your word of the day.
Word of the day.
But sometimes, I mean, not all the time, because like any piece that you work on, even in studio, not everything you make is a masterpiece, right?
No.
Like it kind of, sometimes it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it doesn't work from Paint the Town, but sometimes it does.
Yes.
Sometimes they're freaking amazing.
Really?
And I've seen artists who have done things where they think about their work and they kind of overwork it during their regular studio time, but at Paint the Town, they just shine.
Hmm.
Like it just goes all magical.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think sometimes it works.
So it's nice to be able to see artists at work instead of just art.
Yes.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Well, because that's one of our roles in the gallery is, you know, education and engagement. So this is another way that we're helping people see how things work.
And speaking of art that you just see, there's also art you don't see very much. And like, we're going to try...
Like the art in the attic?
Yeah, like the art you keep in your attic. Well, that's, we want to see that too.
We do want to see it. Now, that has a very specific purpose. Art in the Attic was a fundraiser that we did about 5-6 years ago now. And it was giving people a chance to clean out artwork that they don't necessarily display anymore. Pre-purchased work. We're not asking artists to donate work.
These are people's personal art collections.
Yes.
And some people don't have enough wall space.
Yeah.
And they like to switch it up a bit.
Yeah, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
No.
I don't want to see it at the thrift store, but I'd love to give them an opportunity to make it go to good use and find a new home that is happy to have it, but also helps to raise some money for a very specific purpose at the gallery. And that is that we have plans to create a storage situation, a climate-controlled room with a storage system for the community art collection.
Yes, because we have quite a large collection.
It's getting to be pretty big.
There's 70. And it needs to be managed.
It does.
And it has value and a price.
Yep. And there is value beyond the value in an art collection. One of the things that I'm learning is that other galleries loan their works to each other when you're having an exhibition. So, for instance, if somebody were to have a Chris Cran exhibition in the interior, they could call us. We have two Chris Crans in our collection and they can borrow them. I mean, what a nice resource to know that you can have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
So we do want to take
really
care of it.
Thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's how one of the things I started thinking about was, holy, I could actually do an exhibition at our gallery of some fairly famous people, like, you know, some big names in BC especially, like, you know, Tony Only, and because other galleries do that without ever having contacting the artist or their representative gallery, simply by borrowing from other galleries' permanent collections. They can build a whole show like that. And Kamloops did that.
Good for that. Yeah.
I know. And so I thought, holy, we could do that.
Yeah, of course we could. Wow.
So I want to make sure that we're taking good care of our collection so that we can be part of that network that can do that.
Yeah. So if you have a piece that is hiding and would be better off shown somewhere else.
Yeah, with a new home.
Yeah, please consider.
Yeah. And I've done it a couple of times where I've purchased something small or something and I just, because I love it at the time.
Yes.
It's great. And it's not that I don't love it anymore. It's that something else happened.
Yes.
Something else came along that I love more.
Yes.
And so it just kind of goes in that place. This piece is still amazing and lovely and it means something, but maybe it needs a new home rather than to be in my closet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or under the bed or...
Yeah. And I think it's okay. We need to be okay with that.
Yes.
We can't be saying, oh, I'm sorry, I don't like it anymore.
No.
Like, it's not about that.
No, not at all. It's just about keeping it moving.
Yeah.
And keeping it, you know, loved.
Yes. Yes. Keeping it seen and appreciated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, also, it's a great source of fundraising for the storage for the permanent collection. And people can come in. Bid or how does it work?
Yeah, it's going to be a silent auction.
A silent auction.
It's going to open the same night as the Paint the Town opening, which is August 8th.
Wonderful.
And it'll run for a week. And it'll stop on the Roots and Blues weekend.
Okay.
So at the end of Saturday on Roots and Blues weekend is the end of Art in the Attic. And then we have the magical, wonderful Paint the Festival happening at Roots and Blues. So in the space
The
Art in the Attic was, will be the festival works.
Okay. And so... artists will paint in plein air at the festival.
Yes.
Yes.
Here comes the French again.
Ah. L'accent. And so that work, is the same people who do Paint the Town, or will it be different artists?
It's usually a different crew. There's usually a couple people that do both, but most of them try to just do one. We do a crew of 12 and we're usually in matching t-shirts and we run around and we pick a nice spot in the shade and we just paint like crazy and people stop and say, whoa, what's that?
What are you trying to do? Yay.
It's a bit stressful too.
You know, speaking of summer vacation, a lot of people spend their summer vacation with us here at Roots and Blues.
So. That's right. It's the centerpiece of their vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some people even like they come here to volunteer and that is their vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and volunteering is a great option if you're on a budget.
Yep.
And volunteers are always treated well. If you volunteer at the gallery, I almost guarantee you there'll be cookies involved.
There's always cookies in some form or fashion. Exactly. But at the festival, I mean, they're having, this is a big year because the first year without Hugo.
Yes.
So it's, you know, there could be some changes. Mm-hmm. There could be some differences. And I mean, the only thing that you can guarantee is that it'll be hot and yes. there'll be music mm-hmm. and you'll enjoy yourself no matter what.
And Ian Tyson.
What?
Yes.
Nice.
Isn't he Four Strong Winds?
Yeah.
Ian and Sylvia Tyson. He's 80.
Wow.
Gee.
They don't get along, do they?
No, I don't think so anymore. No, mm-hmm. No.
That's too bad.
No.
Four Strong Winds are two each, I guess.
Yes.
But that'll still be awesome.
That's 80. Right.
Main stage?
Yeah.
Saturday night?
Saturday night, I think.
That'll be an amazing night.
Wonderful. Well, I won't be here.
Oh, yes, that's right, because Louise bails on BC.
I bail on BC. No, it's my summer vacation.
What are you doing on your summer vacation?
My summer vacation, well, I am doing an art-related thing, project.
Yeah.
Very good friends of ours have a lovely, a beautiful art collection. And she's had to move into an apartment rather than her house, so... she'll be organizing which pieces will go to whom. And I said that I would like to go there and photograph the collection with her and record all the provenance of every piece and publish a little book so she'll have it all in one place.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what a great project.
It's like an amazing collection.
Oh my gosh.
Talk about putting things, it could go all by itself. We could have that show here. That's how.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's not because, again, it's not about dripping in money. It's about, as a young couple, they love to collect art. So they got things at markets mm-hmm. and, you know, as mementos of trips they went on together.
But there's like Alex Colville's and mm-hmm. Chris Pratt's and things yeah. like that in that collection, hey?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine.
Alfred Pellin.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Oh my gosh, what a great project.
So that's what I'm doing on my summer vacation.
It's kind of like working.
Yeah, but it's fun. But yeah, publishing is fun. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be so wonderful.
It's only work if you get paid, right?
True enough.
Otherwise, it's volunteerism.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Oh my goodness.
I just about forgot our dramatic.
Yes, exactly. So here was the drama this morning.
Thank
was
you.
That because we were so engaged in our Canada Day activities, we didn't have a dramatic moment in the arts.
Except that there is now.
There is now.
Because
so Eric said that's the dramatic moment is there's almost no dramatic moment. That's pretty dramatic.
But we've got a dramatic moment.
Yes, we do.
Because I had a dramatic moment a couple of weeks ago, but you're so on top of the dramatic moments that you were like overshadowing my dramatic moments.
Apparently not today.
It's Canada Day.
Yes.
Leftovers. Okay, my dramatic moment is the new Rembrandt.
Wow.
The brand new Rembrandt. It's like brand new.
Those are great stories.
It is. So this is very normal for one of the master's works to be disputed as being authentic because most of these masters had many, many pupils.
Mm-hmm.
And the works would sometimes be found to be the work of a pupil because it's in the style of the master. It uses the same paints and the same color palette and the same materials, the same panels or canvas or whatever. So it's always such a dog to try to prove these things.
Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
Okay.
And because they have value.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, they still, even ones by pupils have quite intense value. But mm-hmm. if you ever get it shown to be or get it authenticated to be the work of the master, oh, my God, goes through the roof.
Yeah.
This is what has recently happened in Britain.
Lovely.
A painting was donated to the British National Trust by, I love this name, Edna Lady Samuel of Wick Cross.
Ooh.
Yes. And her husband were great collectors.
Mm-hmm.
They had a piece that was a self-portrait of Rembrandt, although it could have been a portrait by a pupil because it was disputed as not...
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Not being his.
Mm-hmm.
However, after this many years...
Is that like the old school selfie?
Yeah, it is.
A self-portrait. That's hilarious.
That's very old school selfie. Because they just used mirrors, just like we do. They held the mirror back. And
except it's not their iPhone, it's a mirror.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they didn't just do click.
I know, dude. Yeah. I don't like selfies. I just think that's a strange thing.
I think it's a trend. It'll go away.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway.
We'll bring back the self-portrait.
We'll do.
Yeah.
And we'll just hold mirrors up for ourselves. This particular piece, now we have this crazy technology that can do things like cell analysis.
Cell analysis.
Yeah. Well,
of the wood and the paint?
Yeah, of the wood.
Okay.
Rembrandt used a form of wood. Well, yes. He used willow as his wood panels. So they can actually test the cell structure of the wood to see that it's that willow that he liked to use.
Yeah.
And compare it to other works that are his.
So it's like CSI kind of.
It is. Yes. And it's getting, you know, like to that point where they can actually say, yes, for sure, it was his. So this piece has been not only analyzed for the wood structure, but also the paint. And this is another thing that's happened.
Because they made their own
paint.
There was no art store.
There was no Stevenson's or Golden or anything like that. They made their own pigments and they had their own palette for sure. Like when you made a blue oil lamp, they would have 20 different blues that they would make, but they would use a formula that was theirs. They developed it over that many years of working, right? So even when they taught the formulas to their students wouldn't use the exact same formula. So there's two blues that Rembrandt used, his blue mineral azurite and then his blue cobalt, that were very specific formulas. They tested these and they found them to be of his formula.
Wow.
So it wouldn't have been a pupil that mixed that paint. It would have been him.
It would have to have been him.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. And
that could be a whole show. I bet you they'll do they? I think on Netflix they have lots of documentaries about.
Yeah. Well, and there was one recently about a Da Vinci piece that at the end of it, they still were unconcluded or whatever, but it was
inconclusive.
To me, inconclusive. Yeah. Okay. But for me, I'm like, no way. That's totally,
totally for sure. Yeah.
Like in my professional opinion, that was a Da Vinci. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point is that now that this thing has been authenticated, now it is worth more than 30 million pounds.
Wow.
Yes.
Which is great for the National Trust.
Absolutely great for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it adds another painting.
I know, another Rembrandt.
I know.
We
don't get it, right? Like these guys were not prolific and they're gone.
Yeah.
So it turns out that this particular one was painted in 1635 when he was 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This particular self-portrait. So, yeah, I know.
That's so awesome.
It is.
You know, we all have those sort of fantasies of finding that thing at the thrift store, don't we?
We do.
And then we go on antique roadshow.
we get people like that in the gallery all the time.
They?
They come in and they're like, can you have a look at this thing I found in my grandma's attic?
Yes,
and
I know.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I love to help you, but I'm so not an appraiser.
No, you're not an appraiser. And I don't know what it, yeah, your piece is valued at.
Yeah.
1 million pounds.
I'd love to be able to prop it up on an easel and say, well, I see the green hue here is indicative of this style. And no, I can't
do that.
Those
guys are good. But we seem to celebrify the big finds. They don't, you know, like there's that $5 Jackson Pollock story. A woman bought what she believes to be a Jackson Pollock for $5 at a garage sale. And she may well be right, you know.
Yeah.
And they've done... Because he was messy, like he had fingerprints and you can see his boots and boot prints and things in some of his pieces if you look up close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Da Vinci did too, you know.
Yeah.
He always left a fingerprint.
Yeah, something,
on his
right?
Yeah.
And so they've tested, they've done DNA testing, I think.
Oh, wow.
They've gone that far. Well, this poor woman has spent, I don't know how much time and money, trying desperately to prove that it is a Jackson Pollock. And so she's fighting with the more formal, traditional art world about it. She did get an offer, I think, for $4 million, and she turned it down because she thought that they were taking advantage because they knew that it was real. But we seem to, regardless, it's a beautiful piece, but we're so obsessed with the money, how much money is it worth, right?
Yeah.
And so it's almost like these two worlds collided, you know. They call it the thrift store Jackson Pollock.
Yeah. But it is interesting because...
Thrift shop art,
We stop then looking at those works as valuable because of their beauty and only valuable because of what they can fetch at auction.
Yeah, and it seems to fetch at auction. It seems to me we should remember that they're beautiful because they're beautiful, not because they're valuable, right?
Exactly. So speaking in those terms, the Art in the Attic event, I mean, I'm hoping that's exactly what we hope will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Other people will come in and see something magical in a piece that somebody else saw once upon a time, and they'll just really want to
think about the artists who painted those pieces, we don't honor them when we stick it in the basement or no. under the stairs.
That's right. Because if we buy it because we think it's an investment, then we've bought it for the wrong reason.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Like my friend's collection I was telling you about, they never bought it because it was an investment. They bought it because they loved it, and they were so good. They're such natural curators that they ended up with quite a lovely collection.
I'm so looking forward to seeing the publication.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, if you have the story, like that's the,
I think. It's the provenance.
Yes.
That's the interesting.
Exactly.
You know, where you were, what you liked about it.
That adds, okay, I don't want to use the value thing again, but that does add value to a painting.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they recommend to some artists now or people who purchase artwork to write down the situation where they bought it on the back of the piece on something that's still, like that's not actually attached to the piece, like on the canvas or something, on a piece of paper or something that tucks in. Because that when that information is lost, then, you know, the sort of the story goes away.
Yeah, and part of the story too is not just the artist and the piece, but the... what that piece did for the person who purchased it or has it, right? Remember the show we did, The Board Presents?
Yes.
That was one of my favorite shows because it said so much about the people who had those pieces in their collection, right? And what they loved about it. And
It was a beautiful show. Mm-hmm. We should probably do that again.
I think so.
Yeah, you know, we got a few different board members now, so it would be a different show.
I still only have the same pieces I did when
I loved Yosha's the best.
Absolutely.
The portrait European that was done.
Self-portraits.
Yeah. When she was 17, I think. And oh my gosh, it was a master painter. And she was sitting there all proper with her little stack of books. It was the most gorgeous painting.
So beautiful.
Just like a Rembrandt.
Absolutely.
It was just amazing.
It really was.
Yeah. And Warren Welter had quite an intense collection too of beautiful modern works. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That was a good show.
It was a good show.
Wow.
Let's do it again.
Okay.
Okay. First, we'll just get through this summer's vacation, though.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. So was there anything else? Like, I know there's a million and a half things, but the important thing is you can get information on upcoming arts events on our website, which is www.salmonarmartcenter.ca.
Mm-hmm.
And you click on participate, and that gives you the listing by date of things that are happening in the shoe swap. So there's all kinds of other stuff besides one of the things that we talked about today.
But the basic, you know, the five food groups, you know, theater, music, visual arts, arts training camps, that sort of thing.
Education.
Yeah, and education.
So. Well, this is kind of the opportunity, right? Like summer vacation is your time to do something totally different. Mm-hmm. And that's why some people only read books in the summer.
That's right.
That's what they specifically say. I'm going to go to the beach with my suntan lotion, my towel,
my
book.
That's what I should have done. Should have had more book reading and less staying up past my bedtime. What about your summer vacation? What are you?
Well, I don't really get a summer vacation.
No, I guess
because
not.
We run so many programs in the summer, and Wednesday on the Wharf happens all summer, and like just everything seems to all pile up. But usually I get a little September vacation. But when I go anywhere, I mean, I definitely look for arts events when I go to another community. I'll go to the gallery. I'll, you know, if there's some downtown music festival going on, I'll go to that. Like definitely is a draw for me when I travel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go very far, but I really want to see other people's music and art.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for us in Salmon Arm to remember that people come here to see our music
and
art.
They sure do. Yes, of course they do.
Yeah.
And to ride their bikes and go swimming and go to the beach. But it's a well-rounded thing. It's not just all there.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I love the days in the summer that are... You can tell downtown when it's a beach day.
Yes.
And when it's a non-beach day.
I'm thinking today might be a beach day.
It probably will be. But you know what? It gets worse after Stampede, right? Like after Stampede.
Oh, of course.
All the Albertans are over, especially the ones who have recreational property here, they will spend all of their days at their property on the beach, and then their evenings will be when they do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a nice thing to have
come
in the evenings.
Come into town for dinner and... Yeah. Be WOW. So
if you're
visiting from out of town, come see us at WOW tonight. If you're living in town, come see us at WOW.
Yeah.
Tonight.
It's great for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many kids dancing. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really, I don't know, for me, summer vacation is all about being a kid. And there's lots of things for the kids to do in the arts.
There is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can't, we still have to work.
Yes, we do.
That's just the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
But we usually try to make an effort to take some time off with our kids,
mm-hmm.
but they get to choose their days.
Oh, nice.
During this time.
Right.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Like they just get to sleep.
Sleep.
I don't know about your kids, but my kids are, they weren't even out of bed when I left this morning.
Yeah. I had to get mine out of bed, but yeah, it's June. But that's summer vacation. You get to sleep in or play or go to the beach or
And
water
read.
Slides or read, but also participate in the arts because there's plenty for you to do.
Yeah.
And we're happy to have a chance to offer it.
Yes, yeah. We are. I think that there's no end of things for all ages to do in Salmon Arm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one last thought. What was your favorite summer vacation activity ever when you were a kid?
Oh, easy. When I was little, we used to go to Quebec City all the time. And in Quebec City, the old section, they always ran art programs.
Oh.
So we would go and make a puppet or
nice.
You would meet in a park and they'd have everything there and you'd come home with a puppet.
Oh my god!
And it was so cool. It was like one of those plastic bowling pins.
Yeah.
And you turned it upside down and that was the face.
Yeah.
And then you drew like a happy face and they had fabric and then we had a little play. It was great.
Aww.
Yeah.
That so fun. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope some kid has that wonderful experience this summer.
Well, not you'll help them because that's what we're doing here.
Excellent. All right. It's been fun. Everybody have a wonderful summer vacation, but we will see you next week on Artscape.